For a minute, I bet you thought I was going to let Ken sing my sermon this morning.
I could do it.
It would probably be a lot more melodic anyway. I need to start this morning with a short explanation. For some of you, I've talked about what I was going to be doing as a message, and as I get started, you'll find out that this isn't it. I got started, looked at the message, looked at my scriptures, was checking out other scripture passages that I had found just to make sure everything was consistent, and I came across some notes that I made about 11 years ago, turned to John 4, and bang, that was it. So this is a second sermon. It's not what I started with. So you are going to have to decide if what we say today is something that God is speaking to you, and I hope it is. Now, we'll start out. How many of you have been gardeners or are gardeners? You plant stuff, okay. Yeah, you can put your hands up on that, okay. Not a lot of enthusiasm out there. But think about this. What happens when you plant your seed? The conditions are good. There's plenty of rain, but not too much, and the rain is all at the right times. And yes, we do live in Maryland. I'm not fantasizing. It does happen that way sometimes. Use your imaginations, please. Changing the subject slightly, what happens if you plant your seed and the conditions are good, but you only get a little bit of rain after the planting, and then later on when you really need it, very little? Well, in the first case, you get a good crop of whatever it was that you planted. But in the second case, you get very little, if anything, except maybe, especially in Maryland, weeds. Now, if the seed is planted properly, the planting conditions are good in both cases, what's the difference between getting a really good crop and getting almost nothing? The difference, of course, is water. The presence or absence of water that is needed to ensure the growth is probably the most critical factor, all other things being equal. So think about water and all the possibilities that it can make. Think for a minute. Is the effect of water, not necessarily the water itself, but is the effect of water limited to plants and trees and crops and so on? Ask yourself, has your spiritual life ever been like a desert? Dry, dusty, nothing happening? In much of the Old Testament, in the whole Bible as a matter of fact, it seems that water, which brings life and beauty to the land, was also a symbol of spiritual refreshment, a spiritual refreshment that could bring new life, could revive hope, could renew the parched, dry spirit. In Psalm 42, the psalmist cries out in the first two verses, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul," or "so thirsts my soul for you, O God." My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. For the psalmist, God renews his soul, just as water renews the deer. We all know those times, I think, you and I, when our soul is just as dry as dust, when nothing is working right, when we can't seem to satisfy the thirst that is within us. The prophet Jeremiah shows another picture of water and the effect of water. This is from another perspective. He's painted a desolate, desperate, depressing picture of the condition of the future of the people of Israel. In one verse, he comes to explain why the people were in such a sad state. Jeremiah 17:13. He says this, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, All who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Now, as I read those scriptures, and I read the scripture from John, it seemed that I saw, through the words on the pages, to a distant land and a distant time, where a man stood beside a well, talking to a woman of Samaria. To give you an idea of how unusual this was, a prayer that was well known in the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament went like this: Lord, do not remember the Samaritans in the resurrection. They didn't really like the Samaritans. But it was truly amazing when Jesus crossed these lines. He asked her for a drink. He asked her about water. She was amazed that he did so. Now we're in John chapter 4. We'll start with verse 7 and 9. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." She was a woman whose life was in tatters. She was a woman whose life was totally contrary to the law of Israel. And she knew it. And she had chosen, for whatever reason, to live her life that way. In a time when her lifestyle, such as hers, could bring stoning to death as a penalty, her life must have included a lot of fear and not a little desperation. She must have been desperate about something. She was seeking for something to live as she lived. And to her, this man, the man of my picture, the central figure of the New Testament, to her he speaks. Jesus said, John 4:10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." As she heard these words, questions must have come up to her. What does he mean by that? He can't be offering something to me, can he? What's the catch? But when Jesus used the term water, she probably understood there was something more than just physical wet stuff here, because the word had so many Old Testament associations. We started out with Psalm 42, and the deer pants for the flowing streams, which is also another way of saying living water. In Isaiah 55, it starts out in verse 1, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." You see over and over again the significance of water in the Old Testament. So when Jesus used the expression living water, those in the Hebrew or the Samaritan tradition would have had the idea that there was something here, something they should take note of, something more than just mere words. Maybe, just maybe, this woman was struggling with hope. There were so many replies she could have made. She could have said something like, "Thank you, sir, I'm not thirsty." Or, "I don't need any help, I can get water for myself." Or she just could have ignored him. But instead, she continued to ask questions. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Now, what the Samaritan woman probably understood Jesus to say was that God was the one who could satisfy her longing. But, was Jesus claiming to be the one who could give her living water, the divine refreshment that she needed? There was a reply, John 4, 13 and 14. And Jesus said to her, and listen to this carefully, everyone who drinks of this water, the regular, plain, physical, wet water of the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The Lord was using a powerful image here, especially in Israel, in that area, because they understood what he was saying. They knew what it was to be thirsty. One of the tragedies of our time is that we twist this spiritual thirst, this thirst for God, into something quite different. And we often explain it away as just a need for success or a need to get stuff. But even if people realize that they are thirsty for more than that, they take the wrong steps to quench that thirst. Jeremiah, even in the Old Testament, knew this, and he said this, Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people," speaking as God or for God, "for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns. They can hold no water." And of course, if you're not familiar with cisterns, what that was, containers that hold water, and water was so important to life. But Jeremiah was saying these people were making things that were broken, that were shattered, that were flawed, that would not hold water. And that was a symbol of their lives. In contrast, Jesus said of drinking merely physical water, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. They can never be truly satisfied in that way. Now here, at this point, if nowhere else, the woman of Samaria probably knew that she needed something, as do so many people today. And a possibility, the hope for a sense of belonging, a need, maybe a sense of hope began to come to life. The Samaritan woman may have understood all of this, but she couldn't express it, except in physical, everyday terms. So she did, John 4:15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty or have to come to draw water." And Jesus continued to talk then with her about what she had done in her life, about what the spiritual context was. And she began to understand, I think, that he was not talking about just getting wet, but out the need, the dryness that was within her. The conversation continued. Her life was changed and renewed. There was a result. If you look at John 4, verses 29 and 39, because they're very similar, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." And in verse 29, he says, "Can this be the Christ?" Jesus' ministry, his talking with people, took him past Samaria and this encounter with a woman at a well. The picture changed. We see him again, this time in the 7th chapter of John, standing before a crowd at the Feast of the Tabernacles, speaking to the people there, and in fact, speaking to us, all of us. John 7:37 and 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In the person of Jesus, living water takes on real meaning. No longer is it merely a picture, a human, fleeting, almost unreal hope. Renewal, refreshment, even salvation is real in the living water that is Jesus. Right here, let me add one important, very important thing. This is key. This is what we're talking about. Far too often, we look at this picture and we see only the offer of life to someone who doesn't know Christ, as important as that is. We say, what a marvelous picture this is of outreach to the unbeliever, and that's true. And while that's true, that's not all. Because Jesus' offer is not limited to the unbeliever. There is a need for refreshment and renewal within the body of Christ, within those people who know him. Because knowing Christ does not eliminate the need for refreshment, does not eliminate those periods of dryness that are in our lives. Jesus invites all people with a great thirst, a great dryness in their lives, to have that thirst quenched. He shows us that when we're really feeling hopeless, if we're really feeling out of it, there is a way of renewal. There is a way of refreshment, a way to return to life. That way is Jesus, and we need him, and we need that sense, that hope of renewal. Think now, do any of these apply to you, or have they applied to you? Maybe your health isn't what you'd like it to be. There's a lot of us in this building, I think, right now who could relate to that at least a little bit. Maybe we don't have a job, or we have one that seems to have little or no future. Maybe there's a relationship that needs mending. Something isn't working right between you and someone else, and you want to mend it, you want to fix it, but you just can't seem to find the right way. Or your spiritual life is dry. It's flat. It seems to be uninspiring. There's nothing exciting or even fulfilling going on. You're just plain tired spiritually. You're tired physically. You're tired mentally and emotionally, as well as being tired spiritually. You're just tired of being tired. I think that may have hit a bell in some of you. But if any of these things are so, then you need the living water that Jesus provides to renew and to refresh your lives and your spirits. For you see, every human being, there has a thirst for something that can only be filled with a person's full and free relationship with the Lord and Savior of all. Now know this, and listen to this carefully. If you are to have renewal, you must be open to it. You must be open to the possibility that can happen, and that it can happen to you. You can't seal yourself off. You can't shut yourself away from anyone who wants to help. And most especially, you can't shut yourself away from the giver of that living water, the giver of that hope. The tragedy is that so many people slam the door shut. We want renewal. We need renewal. We hope for it, but we refuse to openly admit it, sometimes even to ourselves. And so we go along, getting drier and drier until hope is almost gone. That may have been how the woman at the well in Samaria felt, but did she listen? She did. And she let a crack open, and the water was there. Jesus knew she was in desperate need, and he offered. He offered himself, for he is life. He is the living water for a woman or a man who is dry and dusty and dying of thirst. The offer is still there. The offer is for renewal. The offer is for life itself. Out of the old, out of the dry, out of the seemingly lifeless, new shoots, new strength, new hope and life can come. And you don't need a plan or a book or a study course or anything. You need these. First, admit that you need renewal. Admit it. Stop with this "I'm okay" stuff. I'm fine. I'll be strong enough to get through it. Admit that you need renewal. Don't fool yourself and don't fool anyone else. Second, admit that you can't find renewal in anything that the world can offer. Not a raise, not a vacation, not a new job, not a new spouse. The world can't offer things that will really fulfill you, that will renew you. Third, open yourself without reservation to Jesus. This doesn't have to be the first time. All people need Christ for the first time, certainly, all people. But even Christians can get dry. Don't be too proud to admit it. And don't be too proud to go to the source of help when that help may be needed. And fourth, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stop putting it off. The time to do that, the time to accept, is now. Not, well, maybe I'll do it next week, or maybe I'll do it some other time. The time is now. If you think those are familiar, you're right. Those are very similar to the ABCs of salvation that we share many times. ABCs, remember them? Admit that your life is messed up, that you are a sinner, that you have fallen very, 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 very short of what you should be, of what God expects and wants. Admit that. And then believe. Believe that the only way of hope is through Jesus Christ, and that he is who he says he is, and he can and will help. Admit that. Believe it, and then confess it. Accept Jesus into your life. Say, "Lord, I can't do it myself. I can't unscramble a life that is bad up as mine is, but I know that you can. So, Lord, here I am." And don't do it in some quiet back room. Do it proudly before people. Be proud to say, "Jesus is my Savior." Is your life, even your spiritual life, full? Are you satisfied? Is your satisfaction flowing out to others? Accept him. Share the good news of the water of life. Drink deeply now. And feel that renewal that comes only from Jesus. Drink of the living water that he offers you. It is strength. It is support to make it through the rough times. It is eternal life. He is the living water. He is life. I close with the middle stanza of a poem that I'm sure that you have heard at some time or another. It's by Horatius Bonner, and it's called "I Heard the Voice of Jesus." I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live." I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we need Your renewal. We need that which You can only provide to us when we're dry and we're dusty and there's nothing left. Or maybe we're coming and we don't know where we're going. We're searching. You, Lord, can provide the answer to that search. And so, to renew our lives, to refresh our spirits, Lord, we pray that we may come to You, for You have offered for so long and so many times. Here we are, Lord. Help us. Help us to admit that we need refreshment. Help us to admit that our lives need to be straightened out. Help us to admit that we may need You for the first time. Lord, we ask, we pray, we plead. Help us. Renew us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. You know, we all have times in our lives, or maybe even eras in our lives, that sometimes go through periods of where they're dry, they're dusty, they almost seem lifeless. I don't know what that means for you today, but it's an incredible reminder from this text that Jesus is the source of life, that Jesus wants to revive and renew whatever that area of your life is that is in need this morning. Maybe for you or as a couple, it's your marriage. Maybe your marriage just kind of built up some dust over the years, and maybe you're just kind of settling for second best within your marriage, and God has a greater plan for you within that relationship. Perhaps the response time this morning, the invitation time this morning is for you as a couple to say, okay, we don't know exactly what that might mean, but that we just want to commit to having this relationship renewed and refreshed starting today and let God do whatever He's going to do in that, whatever that might mean. Just start right there. Invite the refresher in to your home. Maybe for some, it's your finances, and you're just discouraged because you don't know or understand how God might meet a particular need in your life. And you've given up, and you're afraid, and you're anxious, and God invites you to come back to Him, the provider. I don't know what He might do and how He might provide that, but He's got a plan. He just invites you to just let go of that anxiety and say, God, I need to be refreshed in that area today. Maybe for others, it's your own view of yourself. Your own identity. You've given up thinking God can use you, and you're unsure of what that means, your value, your worth, and God invites you today to just say, I let go of that. I know that You died for me, and You have a plan for me. And just admit to Him that I've entrusted my eternity to You, but I'm struggling with how to entrust today to You. Just admit that to God. He wants to refresh you. And maybe you're seated here, and you say, I don't know this Jesus that I just heard about. I don't know Him personally. I've never asked Him to forgive me of my sin. I don't know for sure what will happen to me when I die. That's the greatest need every human being has. But Jesus Christ has the greatest answer. He died for that need. He invites you to receive Him by faith. That means putting all your trust in what He already did for you and trusting Him for your forgiveness, for your eternal life. Whatever the need, this area is open, as always. Invite husbands and wives, come and pray. Individuals, come and pray. I'm going to bow and pray and open this time for you to come. Whatever the need is, we'll be here to meet you if you want somebody to talk to you. Let's pray together and then respond. Dear Father God, we just thank You that there is a refresher available when life just seems dry. And God, I just pray that over these next few moments that You'd bring hope to situations that people currently believe are hopeless. You bring encouragement to situations that we've been discouraged over. That You just bring a refreshing to relationships that are uncertain right now. And God, I just pray You bring new life to lives that do not have the hope of eternal life. Lord God, I pray these next few moments you protect even our minds from any kind of distraction. Lord, let the only movement be movement toward you. We invite you to move among us, in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Change my heart, oh.